Welcome to Lesson 5 for Advanced Bible College and our study of the book of Galatians. We're going to pick up where we left off in Lesson number 4, and that is with a very intense focus on the false teachers who brought in this heresy that has so affected the churches of Galatia, necessitating the need for this letter and Paul's writing of it. The Bible has a lot to say about false teachers. And while I understand that dealing with it in Lesson 4 and again in this lesson will limit the time that I'm able to go, we can never have gone verse by verse through this book, but even passage by passage, spending this much time on false teachers will limit that. But I feel like it's worthwhile. If it was this much of a problem 2,000 years ago, we can only begin to imagine how great it is now. We're certainly in what most of us would identify as the Laodicean church age, and because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. And like the church at Laodicea, it is easy for even believers to say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So again, this is not a new problem. However, as we near the coming of the Lord, it is something that we need to be extremely informed about and aware of. We've already established the fact that we believe this book, Galatians, to have been written in late 40s, early 50s AD, therefore 20 years, give or take, after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord back to the Father. So it's one of the earlier New Testament epistles, and Paul is having to deal with false teachers and false teaching. I find it interesting that when we get to the books written near the end of the canon of Scripture, and that they happen to be placed there as well, but we know the books are not placed chronologically, but the books I'm going to refer to were written toward the end as the books that we call the canon of Scripture were coming together. 2 Peter, Jude, and 2 John all deal very clearly, very specifically with false teachers and false teaching. It's as if these men knew that as the last days would, and they said then, we are in the last days, and we understand that because it's the final chapter of the time that God has given us here on earth. Most of us would believe that to be 6,000 years, very close to that. Those men knew that as that this chapter, the church age, draws to a close, that the powers of darkness would be very real, very powerful, very aggressive. And if that is true, and I believe it is imperative that we, as men of God, as Bible students, carefully teach those that are under our care and make sure they know the Scripture and know how to avoid false teachers. But when they realize they are being influenced by one, to know what the proper response will be. So I took those 5 minutes to tell you why I believe it is necessary for us to spend this much time dealing with false teachers. So today's lesson is simply titled, False Brethren. I will read chapter 2, verse 4 for my text. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily or privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom, these false teachers, we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That is today's text verse. I want to read one more passage as a text for this lesson, and that will be 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26. I'll begin reading actually in verse 24 to set the groundwork. Paul is identifying the challenges and the difficulties and the trials that he faced as an apostle. I want you to listen to all of these. Verse 24, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So while Paul is validating his apostleship in one way by telling what he has encountered and endured for the cause of Christ, almost right in the middle of that list, in verse number 26, the last phrase, perils among false brethren. To put that in its context, just remember he's mentioned beatings, scourgings, hunger, fasting, the deep. And right in the middle of that, he mentions false brethren. I think you and I need to be reminded of the seriousness of false teachers. I certainly, if someone is just absolutely perverting the gospel and adding baptism to salvation, etc., the Lord's table, transubstantiation, the heresy of the Catholic doctrine that the wafer becomes the body, that the wine becomes the blood. Certainly, we would identify that right out of the gate as heresy and damning souls to hell. I think we should be more aware, however, of what Paul was dealing with in Galatia, someone who believes that salvation is by what Christ did on the cross, but wants to add in some works to that. And that can be very subtle. I believe in our circles, which I have identified, I think, quite clearly, as best I could anyway, our tendency may be to add in some works as evidence of salvation. In other words, we want them to prove they are saved to us in the same way that we have a careful testimony in our life, not willing to acknowledge that God deals with us as individuals. Certainly, if His Word says it, it is true. And what's good for me is good for you, and vice versa. At the same time, background exposure to Bible teaching and preaching will affect the growth rate of believers. And one issue that I deal with in my church and with people that I have the opportunity to preach to apart from my church is you may be in an environment where lifestyle, viewing habits, dress, music, entertainment, free time, how you would use that, where you're told often about the necessity and the importance of being separate from the world in those areas, and you are, and that's a good thing. A lot of times in a place where those things are emphasized, we're not as often told about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then there are places where those fruits would be dealt with in some detail, with less emphasis or no mention of the outward things. And it is real easy to look at someone based on your background and say, well, if you got what I got the day you were saved, you wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be going here, watching this, wearing this. And at the same time, that person is growing in grace and the love of Christ and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance are oozing from them, if you'll let me say it that way. I tell my church often that it would do everyone in the congregation good to work with someone who is very concerned about those sins of the spirit. 2 Corinthians 7, 1 and chapter 6 is what he's referring to when he says, having therefore, you know that. But chapter 7, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. One of the promises he's referring to in chapter 6 is, I will be a father unto you. And he says, having these promises, dearly, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So both matter, flesh and spirit. And I would encourage all of us to examine those areas in our lives. So my point being, we may not add works to salvation, but we may get very close to becoming judge, jury, and executioner and trying to determine whether or not we believe someone is saved. And I believe we would be better served to examine ourselves. Okay? So I read chapter 2, verse 4. Let me read chapter 1 and verse number 6 and following. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. I use that verse in the last lesson. Some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I'm still laying a foundation of why we are spending and will continue to spend so much time on identifying false teachers. Paul spent a fair amount of this relatively short letter doing so, okay? So, I believe I said this a few minutes ago. Forgive me. I may be thinking about my reviewing, my personal reviewing I did before I started recording. So if I'm repeating this to you and you already have it, just consider repetition to be the best teacher. But I'm remembering looking over it a little while ago. We're going to look at the root of these false teachers. In other words, where do they come from? How do they start? What's the origination point? The root. Number two, the revealing of the false teachers. The revealing of the false teachers. And then thirdly, what should our response be to a false teacher, okay? The root, where do they come from, or why are they here? Well, one point under that would be Galatians 2:4, where he says, though because of false brethren, unawares, look at that next word, brought in. Unawares, thankfully, Jude says they crept in unawares, but Galatians makes it clear they were brought in. Unawares, again, that's important. The leadership did not know that they were false teachers and what was about to happen. Nevertheless, they were brought in. I think it would be safe to say that in our day, many times that is the case. We may not have gone out and recruited them into our ranks per se, but upon meeting them, there was an element of bringing them in to the fold. And that is very serious. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read this believing you are familiar with Romans chapter 1. Okay, powerful, amazing chapter of God's word. Let's look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Look at the last line. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So again, we're looking at, where do these false teachers come from? Well, Romans 1:18 identifies a group of people who hold the truth. They look good. They sound good, at least at first, but they hold that truth in unrighteousness. I think a very elementary observation we can make right here would be they have a head knowledge. They've not been converted. Their heart is impure. Their heart is unchanged. Their heart is unrighteous. But they tout, T-O-U-T, they tout truth. They sound on the surface quite good. So where do they come from? They are in and amongst us. I didn't have this in my notes. And I'm going back to Jude on point number two, but I feel like we should go there right now just for a moment, just briefly. Verse number four, and again, I'll use this again in just a few minutes. The Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, again, I'm coming back to that verse. I really just want to focus on the crept in unawares. I taught Jude for Advanced Bible College and spent a lot of time on that verse. They blended in. They looked the part. They sounded good. Now, they're going to be revealed, and that's point two of today's lesson. But I just want us to be reminded that in Galatians, they were brought in. In Jude, they crept in unawares. They did not stand out with their heresy. They blended in extremely well. Okay? So, I want to make the point, we that are in leadership must be very careful, very wise, very discerning. And I'm about to let the cat out of the bag and give you my last point, but I want to go ahead and introduce it here, because this root, this blending in of these false teachers concerns me greatly. We must be men of the book. We must read it. We must study it. I get the expression teaching and preaching from the overflow. I get that. I get it. I really do. Just make sure if you are doing that, if you do that, and I've heard that used in a relatively wide variety of camps. Just make sure you really are filled up to the point of overflowing. My point is, I've heard that used, and don't get hung up on that expression. That's really not what I'm trying to deal with, but it fits. Don't use that as an excuse for not studying, not knowing the Word, not diligently comparing Scripture to Scripture and moving line by line, precept upon precept. Don't get careless. Here's the truth of the matter. And I'm speaking to those of you who have been saved for a while, been in the Word for a while. You probably know significantly more Scripture than most of your people. If any of you are church planters in a tough field where everything they know about the Bible they've learned from you, let's face it, if you're in that situation, you could wing it often, okay? And I'm not saying every sermon needs 40 hours of preparation. I am saying we've got to be in the Word. We've got to have the Word in us. We need to be listening to preaching, good preaching, Bible preaching, solid Word preaching. So that, because here, and again, this is going to be the response to false brethren that I'm headed for in just a few minutes. The way to deal with and identify them, because they will creep in unawares, they will look good. We've got to know the book so that the red flags are easily seen. Okay, I'll deal with that more in a little bit, but that's really the heart of where I'm going today. Number one, the root. Number two, the revealing of false teachers. Let me give you the points and then go back and deal with them in some detail, okay? Write this in your notes. Compare Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Compare that to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Just, that's kind of like bonus material. I don't think I'm going to get there today, but I'd like to encourage you to do that. Okay? Write in your notes Jude verse 4. The word lasciviousness, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, simply means filthy. 2 Peter deals with the same thing. Other passages of Scripture do as well. Let me give you some verses to write down. 1 John chapter 4, Matthew 15, 8, Isaiah 29, 13. They deny the Lord with their works, with their life. Their doctrine sounds good. On the surface, it is very impressive. They are very impressive. They deny Him in their works. That's why Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man. And I mentioned this in the last lesson. I believe in our circles we do. I'm not referring to ordaining them into the ministry. I am talking about we embrace, figuratively, we lay hands on men too quickly. And again, I went into a lot of detail in lesson 4 about what I call our circles, our camp. Somebody can look the part, preach with a certain delivery, gesture at the right time, you know, just they know what to say, they know how to act, and we are very quick to embrace that, and we need to be more discerning. They deny Him in their works. I want to refer back, I'm not going to turn there again, you may. Jude verse 4 has the phrase, ordained to this condemnation. Ordained to this condemnation. I want you to put a note in your notes. What they ordained to is the condemnation. Because they have chosen to be a false teacher, Their condemnation is settled. It's determined. They weren't born from the womb destined to be a false teacher. Okay? They chose this path of falsehood. Because they chose that path, their condemnation is ordained. It is predetermined. Okay, you're a false teacher. This is what happens to false teachers. Okay? You can add these notes in there. John 10, verses 10 through 12. And that is where the Bible speaks of hirelings, and that would fit very well with false teachers. Add also Jude verses 18 and 19, where the Bible talks about their sensual lusts and having not the Spirit. So let me be clear. We're talking about lost men. I don't believe I've made that point in any of these earlier lessons, and I know I haven't today. We're not talking about a saved man who's off a little in his doctrine. No. These are ungodly, wicked, sensual men turning the grace of God into something filthy. They're lost, they're doomed, they're damned for hell. They are leading many astray. Okay, that I want that to be very clear. I've got another lesson trying to figure out how to work it in on Paul confronting Cephas, Peter. Peter was not a false teacher, but Peter got drawn in to some of this heresy that was going on and was affected by it and thereby affected others. He's dealt with completely different than these false teachers. And again, we'll get to Peter and how Paul dealt with him. Paul confronted him to the face. You find none of that with the false teachers. He's exposing them in no uncertain terms. But there's no confrontation. There's no effort to restore them. Again, this is who they are. This is who they want to be. This is who they've chosen to be. They've not been influenced. These are the false teachers leading others astray. Okay? So, Jude is one of my supporting points for the revealing of these false teachers. Write down in your, I don't know if you're using bullets. In my notes, I had A was the Jude verses. B is 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Talking about trying the spirits. Let's read 4. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the spirit of Antichrist, mentioned in verse 3. You've overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he, the spirit of Antichrist, that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Where does that put a majority? I'm debating whether to say a majority. I'm going to say majority of the assemblies that call themselves churches today. Again, I think I have been abundantly clear. There's time and room to grow. But any church, so-called, that looks and feels like the world, even to someone in the world. Okay? There's a huge problem there. And I think even if this is the first class you've ever had me for, you understand exactly where I'm coming from. I'll give you as much grace as I want you to give me. Okay? I'll give you as much time as I want you to give me to grow. But they speak of the world, and therefore the world heareth them. Okay? We are of God, verse 6. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do you and I know God? Right here. We either stand on this or we're doomed. We have nothing else. Your preaching, your teaching, your counseling, your after church conversations with someone needing help must be rooted deeply in the Word. Not your experiences, not your emotions, not your traditions, the Word. If you weren't raised that way, thank God for the good you were raised with, but start today. Write the date down in your notes. As of this day, I am rooting myself in the Word. My messages, my teaching, my preaching, my helping someone in a one-on-one manner will be rooted in the Word. I can't emphasize it enough. We speak of God. False teachers, they won't hear us because we're speaking of God. Give them the Word. Give your people the Word. Give your family the Word. Give yourself the Word. It's what we've got to have. It is what will discern and decide and differentiate. It always has. Okay, this was written 2,000 years ago. This very verse was written 2,000 years ago. So it's always been the deciding point. But in the crazy days that we are living in from now, apparently till the coming of the Lord, it will be even more necessary. Okay, write these verses down in your notes. 2 Peter 2, 1, 3, 10, and 14. Second Peter 2, verse 1, verse 3, verse 10, verse 14. I'm just going to give you some points, some bullet points to look at and study. False teachers are revealed because they are like Balaam. They are like Balaam. They are revealed because they have no possession. There's nothing on the inside. Look at verse 18 in 2 Peter 2. They are polished. I do want to read that one. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Great swelling words. Jude has a very similar statement. Okay. Write in your notes there, compare the great swelling words, Compare that to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. We're not going there today because of time, but that's where Paul said, brethren, when I came unto you, it was not with polished words. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I didn't come and woo you. I didn't come and wow you. I came in weakness, but I came with a powerful message. Are you starting to see a theme? I don't think I'm putting it there. I believe it's there in the whole New Testament, especially when we deal with this issue of false teachers. But are you starting to pick up on a theme for me? A burden, an ongoing passion for me. I've seen good people swayed by these kind of men. It troubles me. I've told you this already. I'm 61. I'm seeing another generation swayed by great swelling words. And it terrifies me. Okay. I was about to tell you how we combat it, but that's point three. So let me just go ahead. Point one, the root. Point two, the revealing. Point three, the response. 2 Peter 3:16. I'm going to read 16 through 18. As also in all his epistles, Peter's referring to Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Yet therefore, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He's writing to save people. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What's our response? Number one, be aware. Be aware. Don't be, and let me assume, and this is not accurate. Some of you are beginning Bible students. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. But for a moment, let me assume that everybody in this virtual classroom is a seasoned Bible student, and therefore you are a Bible teacher. That's why you're taking these classes. If that's the case, and it's not, but assume for a minute that it is, the people that are listening to you are not. Some may be, praise God. Most are not. It is our job to teach them to be aware of false teachers. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. Talking about the response. Roman numeral 3 is the response. A, be aware. B, build up your faith. Let me read 5 through 10 of 2 Peter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged, past tense, from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again. To make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Number one, be aware. Number two, build up. Build up your faith. I would say everybody listening to me right now knows that it's sad how little professing believers put into their profession of faith. Jesus did the work, but now I'm supposed to build up myself. And he tells me how to do it, tells me who to do that with, tells me what to use. So vital, so, so vital. He saved me, and I can't build up myself without him, but he's not going to do it for me. I've got a responsibility. And then Jude verses 20 through 25. So much in verses 20 through 25. Each of these statements can be without beating it to death. Each of these statements can be an entire message or a mini series of a bigger series. I've done it. It's so powerful. But ye beloved, he has waxed eloquent up until this point, exposing false teachers. And then he goes, but ye beloved, but ye, conjunction, contrast, but ye. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, here's what we do, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Of some have compassion, making a difference. That's talking about reaching out to others. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. C is keep on building up yourself. And I'm not doing that to be lazy. The answer to combating false teachers is building up. Think about bricks, one row at a time. Think about stud walls, whatever. Think about cooking, adding ingredients. Use any analogy that you need, but we don't stop. We don't sit back on our stool of do nothing. We grow in grace. So here, I sum today's lesson up this way. Our response to false teachers is to deal with ourselves. I put this in my notes. We don't have to go on a witch hunt looking for false teachers. When you start that, you'll see one behind every bush. And you'll spend more time dealing with false teachers, exposing false teachers, attacking false teachers online, than you will building up yourselves. Let me be clear, as a shepherd, Do I have a responsibility to warn my people? Yes. Do I have a responsibility to keep wolves away? Yes. That's a given. You and I both know men who are consumed with false teachers. That's between them and God. But I'm telling you, I went to 2 Peter. Can you witness for me that my answer to dealing with false teachers was, let's see what the Bible says? 2 Peter and Jude are the exposés that rip the cover off and expose false teachers for what they are. And both of them, 2 Peter at the beginning and at the end, Jude primarily at the end, although at the beginning as well, but primarily at the end, make it clear. Grow in grace. Build up your faith. Warn others. Love others. Bring others into the fold. Don't be consumed with them. Be aware of them, but don't be consumed with them. Okay? Hope that's clear. I believe it is. I'm not saying we ignore them. I've got 10 lessons. I wouldn't have devoted two entire lessons to false teachers if we're not supposed to be aware of them. We are. But part of me making you aware of them is to remind you, don't get consumed with them. And I think you'll agree with me. You know people who have. Okay, that is lesson 5. We are halfway through. I'm loving it. Hope it's been a help to you. Appreciate all of you. God bless you.